All right, Giants are 4-4. They've got a game tonight against the Texas Rangers. Jordan Lyles on the hill and Drew Smyly, a lefty for the Giants today. And we bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Pretty good. I'm enjoying the show. And, boy, before we get to the baseball, let's get to the serious side first. And my goodness, Bruce, what a week for Rob Manfred once again in the game of baseball. And where is it going? And the Marlins and the Cardinals and the Phillies and everything else. And I know you've got a lot of thoughts on it. I've been reading your tweets, and Ann Killian and Susan Slusser have talked about it. Where are we going here?
Well, I don't think we're going anywhere good. I mean, it's just every day there's something new. You know, as soon as you hear about a team, the Cardinals being the latest example, you know, they've got a couple positives, and the next day there's four more, and then the day after that there's more. I mean, I don't know where it ends, but they really have reached the point where they need to get serious in what they're telling the public. And, of course, Rob Manfred is turning into a complete idiot over this whole thing. His latest thing is, I'm not a quitter. Yeah. Okay, so what, Buster Posey's a quitter? Mm-hmm. Lorenzo Cain is a quitter? Somebody who quits his job over the gravity of this disease? You friggin' idiot. It really ticks me off. I mean, they're right on the verge of, they have to shut it down. They can't be like the rest of America pretending this isn't happening, because it is.
Well, it's going to be, so this is an interesting week coming up. They've already canceled 33 games, if I'm not mistaken, talking about seven-inning doubleheaders and things like that. It's inevitable. It's uphill all the way. But while we're going uphill all the way, the Giants actually kind of had fun this week. And Kapler, you know, last weekend I was very critical with the veterans, you know, sort of getting on his case right away, the first weekend on the job. And then all of a sudden they started hitting and winning, and he was making moves, and they were paying off. And then he tried to make a move when you couldn't make a move. So he's been very active.
Yeah, I'm quite willing to talk enthusiastically about baseball as long as we have it. I mean, I don't like where it's going, but we do have it. And it's, you know, I get a little more engaged every day. And the Kapler situation is quite reminiscent to his early days with the Phillies, where he made some really dumb mistakes, not just sort of arguable. They were clearly things that he didn't think out, and he was on the verge of losing the clubhouse. But you know, then he got the players back, and when he left, there was a lot of remorse among the people on the team and in the organization who didn't like to see him go. So we know he's a real genuine guy, and he means well, and he's just such a different guy. But, you know, I'm certainly not writing him off after the incident at the mound where he didn't realize he could go out there. It wasn't a smart thing, obviously. And, you know, we remember Bruce Bochy busting Don Mattingly on that. It's still very fresh in our minds, and a lot of people, you know, associate Mattingly with that particular, you know, evening as a manager. But it's a really complex issue with Kapler. He does so many things. I think the bottom line is that I think most of the things he's doing are pretty sound, and the team is responding. The team has an awful lot of energy. You know, that's a big deal. I mean, you know, they're putting runs on the board, as we've talked about, their right-handed hitting lineup, which continues to impress, whether it's Solano or Flores or whoever it is. And you know, the bullpen is just gaining credibility by the game. So, you know, there's a lot to like.
I agree. The matchups are working. Plus, he's an outfielder. What does he know about pitching anyway? You know, when they made pitching changes, he was looking up in the stands and doing something else. So he doesn't know that. But I make light of it. But, you know, let's face it, it will not be his last mistake. And he needs a coaching staff to help him. And his coaching staff has never been above the instructional league before, you know, and things like that. So that's part of the issue. So he's got to deal with that. So it's not the end of the world. I don't condemn him for it. His main thing was he did put the pitcher out there for the second inning, and maybe that was a little bit of a second guess. Then when he started getting lit up, he didn't get him out right away, and then he decided to get him out, and then that's when the gaffe happened. But my point with Kapler is, and the whole coaching staff, when things happen, when things go sideways, you can't panic and you have to have things under control, and that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, well, he's very forthright. He came right out and copped to his mistake. I mean, he's impressive. You know, the way he addresses people, I think that means a lot. You know, I think he's kind of a difficult guy to tune out, and Lord knows athletes all through time have been quick to tune out a coach or a manager who they just get tired of the voice and the, you know, everything about them. And I don't think Kapler is one of those guys. So, and you know, he's dealing, I mean, the entire roster just about is, especially with Posey gone, is people who, if they don't perform, there's a second guess. It's not like we're talking about Mookie Betts here, you know, or Max Scherzer. You know, I mean, this team is full of guys who are trying to prove themselves, and I think the majority of them are doing really well, and the team is doing about as well as you could expect.
Yeah, I think he had a good week, so I'm giving him a pass on the Rogers situation.
Yeah, same here.
For those of us who got to see Carl Yastrzemski play,
yes, quite a bit.
I'm telling you, Bruce, this is what he looked like. I mean, you couldn't get him out. Remember Carl Yastrzemski? He would have that swing, and you couldn't get the ball past him. Everything he hit was on the sweet spot. And this kid, you know, the grandson, had a week. He's 12 for 29. He scored 8 runs. He's hitting .414. And if you didn't see Carl play, this is what he looked like.
Well, to me, they're not much alike in the way they approach hitting. Their stances are different. Mike kind of yanks his head a little bit, although it certainly doesn't affect his impact. His eyes are straight on the ball when he hits it. If you silhouette the two guys, they don't remind me of each other. But just the presence and, like you say, the squaring up, you know, consistently now and in big spots. He likes a big spot, and Lord knows Carl Yastrzemski. If you look at what he did in the 1967 season down the stretch, you know that his whole life was coming up with the entire New England riding on his every swing, and I think Mike's got that same kind of moxie, when it counts. And I wish he was 20 instead of 30, you know, but it took him to 30 to become what he is. So.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. No, he's fine. He's been a pleasant surprise. The other one, and maybe one of the better nicknames in Giants history, Donnie Barrels.
Yeah.
Come on, give me a better give me a better nickname than the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mack.
Yeah, that's
Donnie Barrels. Come on.
Yeah, just keep barreling and you're good.
Hey, and you know something? They pitch him inside. He pulls his hands in. And the other one is Flores. You know, Flores never saw a pitch he didn't like, but he's not wild. He makes when he gets up there, I got a feeling that something's going to happen.
Yeah, he just spanks the ball. You can just tell the contact is consistent, and he's really that was his reputation coming in. This guy can hit. You know, we'll see how he does defensively, but boy, he's certainly lived up to that part of his reputation.
Yeah, good week. It's been a good week of baseball and. Boy, they should, and who knows what's going to happen, but Texas doesn't hit at all, and they've got all sorts of injuries and things have happened. But I don't know if you heard Eric Nadell today. He's not even doing the game this weekend. His broadcast partner was positive, and so was the engineer, so he got quarantined too. He can't even do the game. But talking about the Rangers, they got injuries all over the place, and, boy, they just don't score runs, Bruce.
No, they don't, and you're accustomed to seeing that from Texas, but, you know, guys have departed there, and it's sort of down to, you know, you're hoping for Joey Gallo to put one out, but I think it'll get better. Truthfully, I haven't really given the Rangers a long look, but they don't seem, they're not a big threat this year.
No.
And, you know, they change parks every 7 years, though, so in a few more years, you never know.
Well, this park, Eric says it's so big you can't hit the ball out. You got to hit it down the line to get it out. He said that power alleys are 410.
Oh, well, that's just absurd.
What is it, the old Yankee Stadium, you know, Joe DiMaggio? We need Al Gianfrido to catch one at the wall. You know?
Was it 457 out there?
One side was 457, the other one was 4-something. so that's what they built in Texas. That's not going to last.
No,
Eric said that about it. But the one guy I like is Joey Gallo. I just...
Yeah, I mentioned him. He's a big threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes a big cut. He hits the ball deep. He's a classic slugger. He doesn't hit for average, but he does more than enough to keep him in there, and you don't want to turn away when he's hitting.
How'd you like the Padres center fielder, Grisham?
Yeah, you know, you start watching him. He runs good. He's got a nice approach at the plate. Not only smart, but he jacked one out of there. Then he makes this tremendous throw. I mean, and he's in center field. I mean, I don't know what's not to like with that guy. I really like the Padres. You know, Tatis and Machado are real flashy, and sometimes they maybe go a little overboard, but that team has a ton of talent, and I think they're going to be a big thorn for the Giants for a long, long time.
Yeah, I'd say in the West, and I said this on the air earlier, you know, the Giants are playing National League West, and it's not the best division, let's face it. There's some flaws in there. American League West, you got the Rangers, the Mariners, the Angels in there. Giants kind of in their own crazy way with their preparation and the bullpen and the 60-game schedule. If it goes that far, I think the Giants can hang in this thing. And I think San Diego is the thorn in their side in this division.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as I say, I love the lineup. I mean, Will Myers, you know, Gresham, Tatis, Machado, they've got kids in the minor leagues that have a great reputation so far. Paddock, they've got some really live arms. They're clearly ahead of the Giants just in terms of raw talent, and it's young. So, absolutely. I mean, the Dodgers, they, you know, that's their talent speaks for itself. I mean, and Mookie Betts has really been, every day he seems to do more mind-blowing things. But, it's funny, the Giants have always played the Dodgers straight up for like years now. They're mm-hmm. right around 500. And that's probably going to continue with the Dodgers pitching. You know, they lose Price and Kershaw
Maeda and Ryu are gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Alex Wood is hurt or whatever, and he's out. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it. I mean, they so want to have this season continue. I mean, you know, if you just hung around the Oracle, you know, you wouldn't know anything's wrong with the game.
And isn't that true? That's so true. You know that? And watching the games, you just think, okay, it's a game today. And we're in the West. We're not in the turmoil of the East right now or the Midwest, truthfully. And it's so different when we turn on a game here. It's like, okay, there's baseball, and it's the way it should be. It's funny. I felt the same way.
Yeah, it's the old Cheerios theory. When you're having the Cheerios, well, this game is, you know, they're going in the tank. Just shut it down. And then the game rolls around and it's like, hey, this is great. I mean, and that's the maddening part about it is that for quite a few teams, they're sailing along, they're playing, they're healthy, and all this stuff is just exploding everywhere else. But what a contrast.
Well, Kruk and Kipe, 30 years. How about that? That was a good one.
Yeah, I think they're kind of stunned by it a little bit. Like, geez, you know, I guess, and you know, you and I can relate to 30 years is just kind of a chunk of our lives. But then you think about, God damn, that's a long time, you know?
Yeah.
What I like about those guys is that it's the same as it was. Maybe not when they first started, they were a little bit raw, but, you know, 2 or 3 years in, they were instantly as good as it got. And they're still those same guys, you know, that you can just hear, you know, Kiper's enthusiasm. I think Dwayne, you know, in general is, you know, can be pretty jaded and skeptical about things, but not when the microphone comes on. And that's so important. And Kruko, of course, his enthusiasm is just fantastic. And it's so real. And this is a guy who has trouble walking, you know. And he's the most enthusiastic guy on the planet, in and out of the booth. So good for them. That's a wonderful milestone.
Hey, baseball lost one of its veterans this week. And he's a Sacramento guy and very famous in baseball history. And John McNamara, who managed the A's. He was a coach for the Giants, 71-73, and then he was the manager of the Red Sox when the ball went past Bill Buckner and Eddie Montague ended up fielding the ball in right field.
And a nice play by Eddie.
Yes.
He made the best play on
Eddie,
that.
Eddie got the ball, and there's a story that goes with it. But, yeah, so John McNamara was the manager of the Red Sox. But a nice man. Did you know him, Bruce? Did you ever meet him?
Not a nice man when things weren't going well. He was a man who had little patience for writers. You know, it's one thing if I'm sure, you know, with his friends and family, he was an unrelentingly fine fellow. But you learn something about managers when things aren't going well, and they're dealing with with riders that they know and they've dealt with all season, and they get incredibly snippy and insulting. And he could be very nasty. But on the real side, this is one of those guys. He's been everywhere. He's known the heights and the lows, and he lived the game at every conceivable level, at every conceivable emotional state you could have. And he's a big player in the game. And the 86 World Series, I'm sure it gnawed at him. Not only the whole Buckner Dave Stapleton thing, and I've always defended his leaving Buckner in the game because Buckner has the best hands in the friggin' country. But the thing is, when Clemens coming out at a time when he was pitching well, that you never really knew if Clemens wanted out or if McNamara took him out, but that was an absolute killer, and I'm sure it wore a John McNamara for years. And you can't look back in life, but you sure can look back in baseball.
Yeah, but that's why we love it. Well, he passed away this week, but a Northern California guy, and I went in the archives, and within the next half hour, 40 minutes, I have three or four minutes with him about how he got hired to manage the A's, and it's a funny story. So, so I'm glad that you could add a little bit to him. Last thing about today, August 1st, the Pete Rose hitting streak ended at 44 games. And Gene Garber threw him the changeup, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, that's a real baseball code kind of thing. I mean, do you want to get him out, or do you want to be a man? And, Garber had like a frisbee kind of breaking ball that he used to great effectiveness. But what was the record he broke? Was it Tommy Holmes?
Tommy Holmes was 37, and he 37. Was one shy of Wee Willie Keeler, who was, I think, 45 from 1897,
Yeah, I mean, you think about, the National League, the unbelievable tradition of great hitting that went on, and at 37, that was the figure. I mean, who can figure Joe DiMaggio? I mean, that doesn't even seem real, that hitting streak. But, but here Rose was the guy to do it, is what I loved. It wasn't a Tuffy Rose kind of thing, because it wasn't it wasn't one day. It was a season. It was about a ball player and consistency, and I absolutely loved it. I loved watching Rose play unconditionally. Loved everything about him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Garber throw him a fastball. Absolutely. I was in that camp. But, I mean, you also want to get the guy out, so what are you going to do there?
Well, that's why we look back at baseball, why we love
it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And it's baseball tonight, and we got it tomorrow. So let's enjoy it.
Absolutely, Marty. We'll talk then.
All right. Take care. All right. Thanks, Bruce. All right. More coming up. Boy, always good to talk ball with Bruce. We could go on for another half hour. Got a nice text from my good friend Rick Smith, and Rick says they should limit replay. Rick, I agree with you. They should limit replay. These long replays are just brutal to watch them go for minutes on end waiting in New York, especially in these night games.